good afternoon. It's, yeah, the flesh trembles a little bit for what I plan to share here. I guess we're going to go, well, I just want to greet you in the name of the Lord, as Paul says in Ephesians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, we're Samuel Sadie Stoltz's family, and this is my wife, Sadie. We have Catherine is 11, Liddy Ruth is 10, Alan is 8, James is 3, and Nathaniel is 6 weeks old. So we're really blessed. We're really blessed to be here. Well, you know, as I share my testimony here, I always wasn't holy and without blame before him in love. Well, you know, I was not always holy and without blame before him in love. And as I think about sharing my testimony, I think about like a brother shared in Charity Christian Fellowship in the baptism 2 weeks ago, that he was trembling. And my flesh trembles to be exposed, because I feel for my testimony is we're going to have to go back and into the life a little bit of where the flesh was. So we do tremble. Pray for us as we share. I feel Sadie's going to do the same. So, I guess I need to go back into my teen years. I do thank my parents on my upbringing. They did the best they knew how. When I was 16 years old, I joined the youth group. I tried to be this perfect guy. In this way, I developed a better-than-thou attitude. At the age 18 and a half years old, I was baptized in the Old Order Amish Church. I remember walking home from those services with a freedom and peace. You know, I used to really question what that was, and today I know it was only freedom and peace of man and not with God. All that time, I had no convictions over drinking, gambling, and porn. It was not long till I was in deep sin. In this way, I went through my youth. I repent of that today, and I praise God for his grace and mercy. I found Sadie when I was 22 years old. We started dating. I soon found out that she cared about me in a way that others had not. We got married 1 year. 1 year later, we moved into our new home, and what an exciting time of life. But it didn't last long. I had my own business, and some evenings I would work late. In this way, we drifted apart. Catherine and Liddy Ruth were young at that time, and I apologize to you for not being there when you were young. Approximately 6 years ago, we were talking one evening. I told Sadie about my past sin. It grieved her. She suggested we go for counseling. I did not want to go. This would mean time off of work. We would have to get a driver, and that would cost money. So our conversations went something like this. I think we can work this out. Yes, but Sam, you're not at home much. Okay, I'll try to do better and be home about 5 o'clock. Then we would have another conversation about 3 weeks later, and going for counseling would come up again. This went on for about a year, so I decided it would be a good thing. I felt Sadie needed it more than I, to find out that it wasn't true. We went approximately 1 year, and things were going along pretty good. I guess I was getting back in my comfort zone, or getting comfortable. So one day, Sadie really rattled my cage. She said she's going to make a public confession on her past sins, and this meant excommunication. And you know, she never asked if I would go with her. This really worked on me. I know she wanted me to go with her, but this is how I battled with it. I told myself, she won't go by herself. What will the people think? By the way, I'm not involved in those sins anymore. Let's just move on with life. This really worked on me. For about a week, and I cried out to God. I came to the end of myself. I asked Jesus into my heart for my Savior. Praise the Lord. I remember coming out of the bedroom that evening after supper and told Sadie I would go with her. And we embraced each another, and I can say after that we walked together in a different way. It was not necessarily an easy road after that. But I do thank God for His mercy and grace He provided me. I was blind, and now I see. I go back, and I like to, in my teen years, and I'm going to say maybe 16 years, there was two roads, there was a crossroad in my life. And I choose to go down the broad road, the wide road. And they separated as we kept drifting, as life moved on. They kept going further and further apart. The narrow road, the way to heaven, the way to God, was way up. It seemed like it was out of reach. I climbed up over that mountain. That was a long, hard climb. Would I climb that mountain again? I would. But would I go down that road? I would not. It wasn't necessarily an easy road, but praise God for His mercy and His grace to help me up on the narrow way.
Yes, I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I was amazed as I was sitting here this morning listening to the messages, how my past just fit right in with what we were hearing. I'm going to share some of that. I wondered where to start as I was writing this. I wasn't sure how much to include of my upbringing and my past. But I have to go back at least a little, because I believe if we're really going to understand what God has done, we have to first see the darkness of the past. It is my desire that you would get a glimpse of God's grace. Looking back into my childhood, I realize it was not perfect, but neither is my children's upbringing. I can't deny the heavy influence my parents were in my life, but I cannot blame them for the choices I made, because I chose that path I took. My parents had four children born within 5 years, and being so close in age, we did a lot of things together. We kind of raised each other in some ways, and were pretty much left to ourselves. Maybe the worst part was there was no teaching from God's Word. We didn't pray together as a family or read our Bibles. We did read Bible stories as children, but to me, they were just stories. I was very fearful as a child, and my biggest fear was the fear of dying. In school one day, when I was about 10, I discovered that my name has the word die in it, and it scared me. I was just sure something was telling me that I would die soon. My name is Sadie, and it's spelled S-A-D-I-E, and it also has the word sad in it, S-A-D. And it's not a very happy-sounding name. It doesn't bother me anymore, but I find it encouraging that in Revelation we read about having a new name in heaven. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it won't be sad and die. I started working away from home as soon as I was through 8th grade, and like we heard this morning, that was not a good thing. It was not long till I fell into deep sin and immorality. I was very young. I wasted almost all of my teen years. Looking for a love I could not find, it caused a lot of guilt and shame in my life, but even worse was the poor foundation it laid for a marriage. Youth, if we don't keep ourselves pure, we will ruin our marriages before they start. I just believe that. But it amazes me how God used that very sin later to show me that I'm a sinner, because I knew I wasn't a good person. Somehow it seems that maybe somebody who grew up very good has a harder time finding the Lord. Maybe in some ways it's harder to see their sin or their need of a Savior. But I can't justify my sin because I would have still been lost. I would have still needed Jesus to save me. When I was 19, Sam came into my life, and a year later we got married. I thought I had everything I would ever need to make me happy, but little did I know. It wasn't long till I realized things were not going well, and I was very disappointed. We just buried ourselves in our work and kept going. Anyone looking on would have thought we're a happy family with two little girls. We were married about 4 years when our neighbors, Wilmer and Lydia, went to Africa. They were gone for 2 years, and their son, Aiden and Heidi, had just gotten married, so they moved into Wilmer's house till they got back. They were not living there long when Heidi called me one morning and asked if I'd like to come over for coffee. I didn't want to, but I couldn't think of an excuse, so I went. When I got there, she had her Bible open on the table, and I asked her what she's doing. She said she's having her morning devotions. You mean you do that every day? I was just amazed that someone would read their Bible every day. I have no idea what we all talked about, but I saw she had something I did not have. She had a real relationship with this Jesus she talked so openly about. I had never experienced anything like it before. She was not pushy, but she answered my questions. We ended up getting together every other Wednesday morning for the next 3 years. During that time, a lot of things happened. I bought myself a study Bible and started reading it. I even bought a book called How to Study the Bible for Yourself. And with that, I started on a journey through the New Testament. One morning, I was standing at the sink washing dishes when suddenly I just started crying. I cried and cried, not really understanding why. But for the first time in my life, I believed that God loves me and that He forgives me. And I knew that He had died for me. I didn't make any big changes, but I kept on studying God's Word. I struggled for a long time with the assurance of salvation till one day it dawned on me that I'm not afraid to die anymore. That was such a relief. But I had no idea a battle was only beginning. Sometime after that, I had a dream one night. It was so real that I wrote it down when I woke up. I believed God was telling me something. In the dream, Sam and I were running through this beautiful meadow. We were holding hands and we were laughing. Suddenly, everything was pitch dark and I was all alone. There was an open door in front of me. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there, and I had no choice but to walk through that door and go down the steps. I found myself in a dark tunnel. I was so scared, I just wanted to turn around and go back, but I couldn't. I sensed some evil force behind me, and I had nowhere to go but straight ahead. I started running, and I was crying as I ran. Suddenly, there was a light up ahead, and I was out. And there was Sam waiting for me. Then off in the distance, we saw a cabin, and Sam wanted to go there, but I refused to go with him. The next thing I knew, we were back home, and it was too late to change my mind. I believed God was telling me a dark time was coming and I would feel very much alone. I don't exactly understand the ending of the dream, but I believe it has something to do with allowing Sam's leadership in my life. I'm going to miss out on a wonderful blessing if I don't learn and keep learning what it means to submit. The ending of the dream does not have to be my fate, but I have a choice to make. I remember one time during a counseling session, Sam expressed himself so well when he said, sometimes he feels like there's this self-righteous woman behind him, pulling his reins and trying to make him go the way I wanted him to go. Not long after that, we were talking one night about our past, and Sam told me some things I hadn't known before. And I was devastated. I knew I had entered that dark tunnel. I felt so alone. And for the next 2 years, we just kind of muddled along. There was a verse in Habakkuk that was such an encouragement to me. It reads, though the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pens, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. In other words, even though nothing's going right, I will rejoice in God. but it was hard. I was not always joyful. I went through times when I was very depressed and negative, and I can still be that way today when situations arise and I start doubting God's goodness. We heard in a message in church several months ago that it was about He's still working on me. And I'm so glad God's still working on me and He's not giving up. We finally agreed we needed help. We started going to Life Ministries for counseling. It was a very hard process, but it was well worth it. Toward the end of our year of counseling, we decided to make a public confession in church, and it brought us together in a new way. It was the beginning of our walking together. That following winter, Weavertown held their first marriage enrichment, and we went. A couple months later, there was another one, and we went again. And since then, I have watched Sam grow and grow. We still find bumps in the road, but God has done a wonderful work in our marriage. I don't know what our future holds, but I long to trust Him more and to allow myself to be used by Him. I especially need His grace in dealing with family issues. I've struggled a lot with bitterness and anger in ways I didn't know I was capable of. So pray for me as I continue on this life journey, till one day soon we'll all be home. Praise God. Psalms 18:46 reads, "The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted."
Praise the Lord for what He's done in our lives. Well, we're going to have sing a song here. Hit this one.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon is thy plea.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing this I plead.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not of good that I have done.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or if you'd rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now. Thank you and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.